these guys have any idea what they're doing? Probably not. But that won't stop them from making picks. This is BZ Money.
And nothing will stop us making picks, especially now. We're on fire. We are red hot. Killer Bees are on a roll. Last week, we made the most money that we've ever made in a week of BZ Money. We made $30 for Mr. Gow, and now we're down less than $300 on the year. Now we're down $275. We did a fantastic job last week. I wasn't here, but I was nudging them on to certain teams. I sent in my insight, all of my wonderful tidbits.
Did you get that, Joel?
No, I did not, and I was going to say, I don't think either one of us used anything.
Y'all didn't get that? Because, I mean, I'm surprised, because, I mean, y'all did so well. Anyways, let's get BZ Money for week 8.
The audio went down there. The end part of that was because you guys did so well.
There's no I in team, guys. There's no I in team, but there is a me, and there is an I in win. All right, which game are you leading us off here this week, Blankers? What game you're rolling with is your first one that you want to sell to us?
I'm going to sell to you Denver against the Jags in London. The Jags are up and down. They're hot and cold. They're a lot of things. But you know what they are? They're really good in London.
Oh.
They have always played really, really well in London. Russell Wilson, I don't care about 8 hours of yoga on a plane.
High knees.
All the things that he was doing to make sure that he's ready to play. It might be in their best interest if he wasn't ready
only
to play.
Only 1 hour of sleep.
And they could have played somebody else. And he was bagging on his boys for all the rest of the team being lights out and sleeping, probably was the right thing to do. Jacksonville always plays well in London. They're only given 2.5. And I think that they've been there and done this trip before. And so I don't think they're going to trip over their own football game in the process. I like Jacksonville given 2.5.
Jacksonville's been struggling. I think the losing streak's up to 5 for the Jags, but I hate Denver. I really do. I don't think Russell Wilson very good. Nathaniel Hackett not very good. High knees or not. 1 hour of sleep or not. I don't care what Russell Wilson's doing on that cross-ocean flight over to the other side of the pond. I like Jacksonville here, too, as well, Brendan. I'm willing to go some big dollars on it if we don't hear any pushback from our part-time producer.
So, fundamentally, I don't love giving points with Jacksonville ever. If I had to pick a side in this game...
Field goal.
If I had to pick a side in this game, it would be Jacksonville, and you definitely appreciate that it's under that key number of 3. I would rather not go crazy here because I just don't like picking Jacksonville as a favorite. But I am on the same side as you, so I'll let you guys handle how crazy.
$35.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with that.
All right, there we go. That was easy.
For someone that wasn't looking.
$35's not that high. Jeremy made it sound like we were going 50 plus.
Man, Brendan just went into a little diatribe about how he's pushing back and I'm good with that. Yeah, that's great.
It's not your money, and if it was your money, I mean, you'd probably be throwing $350.
You stayed reasonable. You sounded like we weren't going to be reasonable on the number.
All right, first game I want to sell to you guys involves the Arizona Cardinals and the Minnesota Vikings. The Branham computer model has the Vikings winning this game by 10. The Vikings are only 3.5-point favorites against the Cardinals. Look, I know they got DeAndre back last week, and he put up some big numbers. I don't trust Kyler Murray anymore. I used to advocate for Kyler Murray. I would stand on the table for Kyler Murray and then be a foot taller than Kyler Murray. I used to stand on the table for the Cardinals who got off to that undefeated start last year. I don't believe in Kyler. I just don't. I'm over it. No longer top 10 for me. Minnesota's playing well. Minnesota's at home. Minnesota covers the 3.5.
Did I live in a different reality where Arizona didn't score 42 last week?
That was garbage stuff. Who would they play last week? They played nobody last week.
They played the Saints, didn't they?
Exactly. You're proving my point. They played a cupcake last
Clarence
week.
Clarence will be on line one shortly.
Played a cupcake last week.
Look, I've never been a fan of Kyler Murray. I just don't like... I mean, Minnesota at home, they're going to... At some point, they're going to stumble. I know Kirk Cousins all too well. Brendan, I'll leave it up to you because I don't like that half point. I don't like 3.5.
I'm not even sure I love this game straight up.
Oh, you guys are morons.
I think Arizona is better than they've played.
I don't buy
that Minnesota is one of the best teams. Well, I guess the NFC sucks, so I do buy that they're one of the worst best teams in the NFC. I just don't think the gap between Arizona and Minnesota is all that noticeable. And Arizona looked like a different offense last week. I don't like this one.
All right. Well, sounds like we're not playing it, but make sure on Monday that we keep note of this game.
Put the asterisk next to it that Branham wanted us to go that route.
I have a feeling this isn't going to be good for you guys, but that's all right.
Track record was bad last week.
Yeah, I mean, that's
fair.
Brandon. That's fair. We got to ride the hot hand.
Now,
that's fair.
I know you guys are going to love this one. The Bears, 9.5 underdogs at Dallas. Guys, I said many times early in the season that Chicago was the second worst team in the league. They're looking a little bit better. Now, still bad. Don't get me wrong. But 9.5
this
points.
This is a hard sell here, huh?
9.5 points is a lot of points. It's
how
a
bad
lot
did Dallas
of points.
Beat your Lions?
And what was that? Well,
how bad did Dallas
they pulled
beat your
away.
Lions?
They pulled away, but that was a 7-point game with 4 minutes left in the game.
That was
That's what I'm basing it on. Dallas.
Did you feel him trying to save that there? He tried to Ryan Pressly right there and save it.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Are like the Lions better than the Bears?
Not by a significant margin.
Oh, but they are. So therefore, and I got a Bears fan at the bar.
I don't know about that. I don't know if the Lions are better than the Bears.
I think the Lions are better than the Bears personally. I mean, the win-loss record doesn't say so. But I think they're close. Yeah. I think they're comparable opponents. And last, like, the Lions would have made this cover this if it was 9.5.
Yeah.
If not for a garbage time fumble.
Yeah, but the Cowboys were lousy last week, and Dak Prescott was playing his first game. Like, this is his second game back. I think that the Bears could cover this number, but I don't feel comfortable betting the Bears. Like Brendan just said, he thinks it's one of the worst teams in the NFL. I don't think they're very good. I actually
they look a lot
worse.
Better
I can't
now.
Believe they beat New England, because I think that they're that bad.
Yeah, I think they're a little bit more well-coached.
And I like, I like Justin Fields.
They're willing
I don't
to throw
like
the ball
game.
Now. They weren't throwing the ball early this season. I'm in on this game.
I don't
sounds
like
neither of you are.
I'm not a big fan of it. Where do you stand, Blankers?
I think it's a big number. I think the Bears could cover, but I don't like it either.
See, and what, like, if gun to my head, which side would I pick in this? I would actually pick the side of Chicago. Yeah, the Bears over there
Bears
sitting at the bar having
a beer. You're getting 9.5. Can you cover that?
He said yes.
He says he thinks the
What's
Bears
your name,
cover
sir?
9.5.
I know that your team is the Bears. What is your name, though? Steve wants us to bet the Bears. Let's do it for Steve. Let's bet on the Bears for Steve.
Yeah,
we're only going to only $20 for Steve. I've never met Steve. I'm yelling at him across the bar, so I can't go more than
$20. I should dislike Steve because I dislike the Bears, but that's fine. Yeah. Steve is a good dude. We'll go 20 on the Bears. Steve, leave your number so we can get back to you if you're wrong, because it's going to be a big deal.
The Killer Bees are nothing if not impressionable. That's
right.
We're following a guy that's drinking a beer at 107 at the bar, which I don't blame
him,
by the way. I'm about to be joining you as well.
He's advertising his Bears pandemonium.
Yeah, he's a homer. He's a homer to Beaumont for the Bears. Anyways, what's your second game that you're selling to us, Blankers?
Second game to me is Carolina at Arizona. I mean, if you're a Roughnecks fan, you love this game. I just think that, you know, from the, you know, and Baker Mayfield's out there saying he's healthy, but he's not going to play, but he'll roll with it. Atlanta's been sneaky better than a whole lot of people thought they were going to be, including me, all year long. And at home, with the guys that they have, being able to do, you talk about Pitts, you talk about London,
who?
You talk about Kyle Pitts. Why'd you say who?
Just making sure that's what you said.
I did. And Drake London, and the fact that Mariota, he's not, you know, lighting it up with massive amounts of passing yards. But he's moving the football, and he's doing things so that the team can put points on the board. Atlanta giving 4 to Carolina, I think, is not going to be even close to where Atlanta beats this team. I like the Falcons.
Carolina's playing inspired football since they handed the realms over, or they handed the helm over to P.J. Walker. They're playing inspired football since trading Christian McCaffrey. You have Chuba Hubbard and Deontay Foreman leading the way.
Hubbard's
I think Atlanta
out, I
covers.
Believe.
Is he? Okay, there
Isn't
you go.
Chuba?
Chuba, I don't care. Does it matter when the Falcons are trying to cover 4? I'm okay playing this one. I don't want to go big dollars, though.
20?
You guys
aware,
stand,
Brendan?
Are you guys aware that this game is for the division lead?
Okay.
Oh, stop it.
I'm serious.
Are you on the Falcon band? Are you a dirty bird this week, Brendan, or not?
And how does that impact the play of this game? How does that impact the side?
Interesting fact.
Okay, all right, just a tidbit.
God forbid I try to entertain you people. Sorry. Yeah, I'm on the Atlanta
side. Leave it up to the guy.
I mean, if you were here every day, we might allow more of it.
You like Atlanta?
Yeah, I like Atlanta.
Maybe we should go 30 since we all kind of agree.
That's
all right, 30 bucks Atlanta, Brendan. The second game that I'm going to sell to you involves our local NFL team, the Houston Texans. What happened last week when the Texans were taking on Josh Jacobs and the Las Vegas Raiders? What did Josh Jacobs do? He ran wild all over the Houston Texans defense. Derrick Henry is coming into town. Derrick Henry is a much better version of Josh Jacobs. Do you know the number in this game is under a field goal? The Texans are getting 2.5 points.
This is it's like a too good to be true. What are we missing here? Because
well, they play them tough. They always play Tennessee tough.
Yeah, but I mean, this not that is like this defense can't stop that train that's going to run right through them and Derrick Henry. I'm with you. I would take Tennessee, and I think Tennessee's going to steamroll them. I don't understand why this number is so low.
We have like $635, $645 left to spend. I'm ready to go $645 on the Tennessee Titans.
So I was going to say, I think one of the biggest problems we've had is that we've bet too many games, which gets you into trouble. But I'm with you guys. This doesn't feel right. Plus 2.5?
No, I'm all over this, man.
Yeah, that number, I'm with you. I mean, I'm not going $600, but...
$100.
Oh, man. I think I'm with it.
Boy, that's a lot.
It's aggressive.
Well, then I don't have an opinion.
Well, I'm a little nervous to do it. I would feel better if
you
could
probably influence the bet size.
I was willing to go 50, and then you both went to the 100.
What about 75?
Okay.
Let's do it, man. I feel like we're leaving some money on the table here.
The Texans. I hate betting against
the
Texans. Why? Because I'm such a Texans
homer
that it bothers me.
You want to embrace the suck. You're the anti-homer.
Well, I mean, they could try and cover and not win.
It's going to be difficult, though, with 2.5.
It is our biggest bet of the year.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. Derrick Henry is going to eat on Sunday against the Texans. 3:05 kick on Sunday afternoon for whatever reason. All right, Brandon, what's your final game you're trying to sell the Killer Bees?
All right. I'm going to present a team that I am 0-3 when picking in Beasley Money. But
this is
the time... It turns around. I got the Lions plus 3.5 against Miami. Now, hear me out. They played Dallas close that entire game. It was the first time this year. Their defense didn't just look okay. It kind of looked pretty good.
Their defense?
Other
You're
side
talking about the first game.
You
that
used
Dak
the Lions
Prescott
defense and the word good in the same sentence?
I said it looked good last week. Other side of the ball, Amon-Ra St. Brown caught one pass and went out with a concussion. Came out within an hour of the game that he didn't even have a concussion. He passed the concussion protocol, but they kept him out of the game because he stumbled after a hit. He's going to be good to go. DeAndre Swift practiced all last week but didn't go. He's going to be perfectly ready. That offense is going to be back on track. I'm telling you, I like this one for Detroit.
I don't like it at all. It's only 3.5. I was willing to go the other way. When you've got the receivers that Miami has and Tua looked pretty good coming back, I'd like to see the Lions pretty good.
Here's
stop them.
Here's something that I've learned from you two guys when betting on your teams. Believe blankers and do not believe Brendan.
So should I just lie in the future?
No. You want to give us the truth. That way we have the data and intel to act accordingly. You know what we need to do here, blankers? We got to flip the script.
You're going to
We
got to
go Miami.
I like it.
We got to go Miami. Give Detroit the 3.5 points.
Let's put some money down for the Dolphins in Motown. Let's go 40 on it.
Yeah.
Let's go 40.
Yeah, let's do it.
On the
$40 on Miami.
$40 on the Dolphins.
Absolutely.
To cover the 3.5.
$40
on Miami.
When the only thing that holds us back from a good week is you guys flipping the script here, I'm going to make sure you know about it.
By the way, remember,
if it works out in our favor and it gets us closer to even, we'll let you know about it.
Yeah, flipping the script on Brendan because he never knows what he's talking about his Detroit
Wait, you
Lions.
Will be here on Monday, right? You'll be one of the days where you'll be joining us?
Yes, I'll be here on Monday.
It's a coin flip, if we're being honest. So Jacksonville, -2.5 for $35. We're on the Bears because of Steve at the bar. For $20, plus +9.5. Atlanta, -4 for 30. Titans, -2.5 for the biggest bet in BZ Money history. $75 of Mr. Gow's money. And Miami, -3.5 for $40 as we flipped the script on Brendan. All right, 713-780-ESPN, asking you the question, what do you expect from Justin Verlander in Game 1? 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees broadcasting live from 5 Under Golf in Beaumont.
Hey, guys, a little rain in the forecast coming up for today and tonight. You make sure your house is ready, your business, your commercial establishment's ready. Make sure you don't have any leaks in your roof and that you don't suffer any damage to your drywall or your belongings because of the fact you weren't prepared for precipitation. Fitz Roofing will take care of you every step of the way. They don't just say it, they do it. That means they'll come to you and tell you what they can do if you got something going on or you're worried about what could be going on, and they won't charge you a single thing. Most companies charge you $75 to $100 just to stop by your front door and see what's going on. They don't do that. They believe in their services, their warranties, their products better than anybody else. That's why they say, call us, we'll come to you, tell you what we can do, and then you decide if you want to go with us. It's fantastic. I love the way they do business. Corey's not only the president of the company, he's the vice president of the Houston Roofing Association, which means he has the respect and the belief in his peers from his peers as well as everybody that's used Fitz Roofing. Check him out today. Go to FITZRoofing.com. See all the different services that they can do to help you, including not just roofing, but also home repairs and putting up like fences in your yard like they did for me, but also Get that free no obligation inspection today. Just call them 832-521-3001. It's Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
Live from 5 Under Golf in Beaumont for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
We are at 5 Under Golf in Beaumont. We'll be here until 3, of course. Will House will be hitting after us. Swing on by if you can. Say hello to us. Say hello to them. ESPN special food menu from noon until 7. You're going to watch the game here. You can. $15 Miller and Coors buckets. They gave us some gumbo. Aaron did. Fantastic
Aaron
gumbo.
Aaron is all world at taking care of us.
Absolutely. The gumbo was fantastic. Of course, this is 5 Under Golf, so plenty of golf to be done here as well. They have outdoor bays. You can have a lot of fun out there. The golf simulators inside. If you don't want to go outdoors. And then what I love about it too is like a lot of golf simulators are just like it's just the screen hitting the golf ball into it and there's really nothing else beyond it. Like this feels like a country club. I walked
it really
in, it felt like a country club. You had like almost like a bag attendant waiting for us at the front door, opened the door for us. You walk in very much like a locker room country club type of feel too. Full bar, full menu, fantastic place to hang out for your golf, for your sports watching, Astros tonight, and also this week. How about you take advantage of their brunch 10 to 2 Saturday and Sunday, 99-cent mimosas. They also have a trunk or treat on Sunday, 2 to 5, free admission, doesn't cost you a thing. A family fun event, costume contest, candy, prizes, food, carnival games, and a Tri-City Corvette Club trunk or treat in the Beaumont area. You got to get down here to 5 Under Golf. Justin Verlander gets the start tonight for the Houston Astros. We know this. He's going up against Aaron Nola, who is Alex Bregman's former college roommate in 2014. You know how the 2014 LSU Tigers season finished with Nola and Bregman on it, by the way? Losing to the Houston Cougars in the Baton Rouge Regional. Go Cougars.
Oh, I see what you did there.
What do you expect? Go Cougars. What do you expect to see from Justin Verlander in Game 1? We know the World Series numbers ain't good. 0-6 record, 5.68 ERA, and the 7 World Series starts that he's made.
Look, Justin Verlander to me is a guy in which he is not going to be rattled by extra pressure and extra stress. We saw what it meant when, you know, whether he said it publicly or not, he heard and felt the fact that there were people losing faith in him after his start in Seattle to start this playoff run. He came out and he found himself in that next outing, and he did what he needed to do to give you a quality start. I expect a quality start from JV again. In the press conference yesterday when he was talking during Media Day, he mentioned the fact he's very well aware of what his World Series record is, and whether he says, you know, it's up, and I believe it, it's obviously the end result is about winning the World Series as a member of the team. You know he is a legacy guy, and he doesn't want to be a guy that, as good as his career has been, that he goes away without a World Series win or two, and this is something that he's going to be hyper-focused on as well. I expect him to push. I expect him to battle. I expect him to give you more than a quality start. I think he's going to give up 2 runs or less. I think he's going to go 6 innings or more, and I think he's going to give the Astros what they need off the mound to start this series.
I want a Justin Verlander. Like, I don't need the dominance again. It's almost how I was going into the start he made against New York, where I just want to see him be quality. Like, I don't need him to be this dominant Justin Verlander, just go be quality. The numbers in the World Series aren't great, and if we're being honest, the New York start, first half of that game, he didn't pitch all that well. He was shaky, was able to get out of it, though, only giving up the 1 run, and then in the final 3 innings, he was dominant. Ocho on our Twitch line, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5, Ocho says a clean first inning from JV would be nice. That, to me, is what I want to see early. Like, I don't want the stress of wondering which Justin Verlander you're getting. Are you getting playoff JV or are you getting Cy V? And in the World Series, it's even worse than some of these playoff numbers that we talked about as well. Is winless in 7 World Series starts. You're talking about one of the greatest pitchers of our generation and has not won in 7 World Series starts. So I want it to be quality. I don't need this, you know, Cy V, just quality from Justin Verlander. I think we will get that from Justin Verlander tonight, although it will be the best offense that he's facing in this playoff. Better than Seattle, better than New York. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's go there now. James, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's going on, James?
Hey, it's going good, man. Thanks. Hey, I had a question about Justin Verlander. I think when his career is all said and done, who do you see him going in the Hall of Fame wearing a cap for the Astros or Detroit? Because I feel like that when we got him from Detroit, his career, his path was kind of on a downcline. Because Detroit was really not that good, and I think he's turned his career around since he's been at Houston, and he's been here a while now. Especially if he wins another World Series here, I used to think it was just totally going to be Detroit, but I really feel like it's probably 50-50 or 60-40 now that he might go in as an Astro.
Appreciate
the call,
James.
Look, I'll go first. I think that guys appreciate where they got their start. Guys appreciate the fact that, you know, the years that he put in Detroit, and obviously Brendan's our resident Detroit expert, and he'll be the guy to speak on this. We've spoke about it in the past. I just believe no matter what he does in Houston, and James is right. I mean, he basically resurrected his career coming here and has gone on this golden era of Astros baseball run, being at the forefront, and albeit the only thing that basically was a stumbling block was the Tommy John surgery and missing almost 2 years. I think he'll go in as a Tiger. I think, in my mind, I believe he should go in as a Tiger. It doesn't matter what else he does here in Houston, because he put the blood, sweat, and tears and made the name for himself and established the majority of his career as a Tiger. I'm not mad if he goes in as a Tiger.
No, I'm not mad at all. James said it was about 60-40. I think it's probably like 90-10 as it stands right now. There could be some work that is done that starts to chip away into that.
If he pitches to 45 and finishes his whole career here and wins some more, maybe.
What's more likely, though, that he pitches to 45 and finishes his career here, or this is his final year as an Astro? Like, I think that might even be a 50-50 split. Like, if he finishes his career somewhere else, you can kiss the whole Astro hat on the JV bust in Cooperstown goodbye. And we've talked, now's not the time to do it, and today's not the day to do it, that it could be in the Astros' best interest to spend that money other places because of the depth of their pitching rotation. Justin Verlander, I'm not going to completely rule it out. I think right now it is a long shot. And James is right. Like, his numbers in Detroit started to trend down, getting traded to the Astros in 2017, and being able to work with, like, the development staff of the Houston Astros, where basically they told him to stop throwing your two-seam fastball because your two-seam fastball sucks. Your four-seam fastball is elite. Why don't you ditch the two-seam? He did, and he's been Justin Verlander ever since. And he's probably going to win his second Cy Young as a member of the Houston Astros. He won he won one with Detroit. He's only won one Cy Young in Detroit. That was the MVP year, which never happens for pitchers, and I imagine he was the last pitcher to win an MVP, period, in baseball. But if you look at some of the counting numbers, too, because this matters once you go to Cooperstown, he has three times the amount of wins in Detroit than he does in Houston. 183 wins in Detroit, 61 wins in Houston, and then, like, start games pitched, 380 in Detroit, 102 in Houston. Now, if you start to chip away at that, like, the path that Justin Verlander would have to go on in order to wear a Houston hat into Cooperstown is kind of what you mentioned. Pitch to 45. You're looking at 5-6 more seasons. Win his 300th game as a member of the Astros. Right now he's at 244. If you win your 300th when you're an Astro, that carries a little bit of weight. And the other number, too, is going to be the strikeouts.
Yep.
He's chasing 4,000 strikeouts. He's a little bit under 3,200 here. If he gets both of those in an Astro uniform, I'm not even sure he needs like another Cy Young. Maybe like another World Series.
Maybe, I was going to say World Series.
I think it becomes closer to a coin flip. Right now, it's 90-10, and if he leaves this year as a free agent, I think it's goodbye. He was asked about the free agency stuff yesterday as well. He's like, look, I'm being in the moment. This is not really something I'm thinking about, which is opposite of what we heard in the regular season from Verlander. But then he kind of slipped up a little bit later because they were talking about the courting process last year, and he kind of said it's something that intrigues me. So I think Justin Verlander is going to shop around. Now, I still think that the favorite to land Justin Verlander is probably the Astros, but I would say it's a coin flip that he's back
JV
next year.
JV loves him some JV, and JV loves
I don't blame him.
And anybody would be the same way. It's the same way when free agency starts in the NBA. The guys, whether they know from the get-go where they're going to sign or not, they love being courted and given a lot of free swag and expensive gifts and wined and dined and tried to be convinced and their butts kissed to try and get them to be the difference maker for another team. But at the end of the day, it's going to be up to him and Kate and determining where they want to be and what they like doing, and the fact that he's made mention numerous times about how he loves how they can be anonymous for the most part in Houston. There's not paparazzi. There's not people hounding him and following him all over the place on a daily basis, and that they can just live their lives. Now that they have a daughter, it's even more important. I think the other thing that it comes down to is just winning. I mean, we said that, and we said this previously, but just to the stats you were alluding to, whether he gets another World Series this year or not, he's going to be chasing it, you know, as many as he can get. He needs to stay winning so he can get those wins stacked up for himself for the 300. He wants to play on a successful ball club because there's more attention drawn to him as well, and puts him in that elite status amongst the all-time best pitchers. It's going to factor in. It's going to be him and Kate. I think you're right. His relationship with Jim Crane is like no other owner he could have in sports, and I think that's why he'll probably end up, you know, being a the Astros will be a finalist.
Yeah.
I don't know if they'll be the team that he ends up picking.
I think that they're the favorite, but you could also be the favorite and be less than a 50% chance that it's likely to happen.
Where's Kate's connections? Does she do anything? Because I was going to say L.A., the Dodgers, not out of the realm of possibilities. If they're talking about an Aaron Judge, that they would at least consider a Justin Verlander.
Yeah, I do. Like, one of the things I think plays into it is that I do believe Verlander really likes the city.
Yep.
Like, it's playing one in one locker room versus another locker, like, that stuff matters too, but also where you're living.
Yep.
And it does seem like JV likes the city. So that plays to the advantage, if you're a believer, that you want Justin Verlander on this team going forward. 713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees broadcasting live at 5 under. What do you want to see from JV tonight? 713-780-3776. We've also talked about our fear level for the Astros pretty much in every single one of these series. The DS against Seattle, the CS against the Yankees. Where is it at in the World Series against the Phillies? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from 5 Under Golf in Beaumont. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees live, 5 Under Golf in Beaumont. Fantastic spot to have lunch. We're having our lunch right now, as a matter of fact. It's got a little buffalo wings here. Big buffalo wing guy, and they are very good here. Aaron brought out some of the nachos, which
yep.
I haven't tried yet.
Fantastic.
But if they taste half as good as they look, they're going to be a 10. And he also brought out a little spinach artichoke dip. I like spinach artichoke.
I had the chicken quesadillas, which you guys all know. If you know any of our road shows, that's what's for lunch for me, and it yep. was fantastic. They are very filling, very, very good. So
we'll be here till 3, of course. Will House will be up after us. They'll be taking you all the way up to Astros-Phillies World Series Game 1 pregame coverage. We're carrying the national ESPN broadcast a little bit later tonight. If you're looking for a spot to, you know, play a little bit of golf before the Astros game today, they have the golf simulators on the inside bays. They have the outside bays as well to swing the sticks. Clubhouse feel here, very country club feel. Full bar, full menu, outstanding specials as well. An ESPN food menu special from noon until 7. And then Game 1, World Series tonight. $15 Miller and Coors buckets as well if you come watch the game here at 500 Golf in Beaumont. We were talking about Justin Verlander, what people want to see out of Verlander tonight. Most people are talking more big picture when it comes to Verlander. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. KD's burner phone says, Verlander continues to pitch into his 40s. Not sure if he'll give Crane a discount. I don't think he's going to give much of a discount either.
If I think that's why he's shopping.
Yeah, if there is a discount, I think it's going to be minor. Like last year, Verlander didn't pitch for 2 years minus one game. He went out and found the best offer that he got, which was $25 million for 2 years, the player option for the second. I think Toronto was the other team that gave him that $50 million for 2 years. And they say, hey, Mr. Crane, this is what Toronto's offering. Will you match? Crane decided to do that. I think that's what's going to happen again with Justin Verlander. I think Verlander is going to go out, play the field, shop the market, come back with whatever the best offer is and tell Crane, look, this is your offer to beat. If you match it, I'm an Astro.
I mentioned the other thing that I think is going to be a barometer for him, and that's everything, how it matches up to Scherzer. And then also the best deal on the table.
Yeah.
I think, you know, because stat for stat, the way he is neck and neck with Scherzer in so many ways, the one way where Scherzer got the massive deal a year ago from the Mets, he had a lot to prove because he was coming back off of the TJ. But I think now he's going to listen. He's going to want to see what everybody else thinks his value is as opposed to what he thinks his value is. And I think the other thing that he'll be watching is, hey, I'm as good as Scherzer. Scherzer got 43. Where do I stack up financially with that kind of number? So, he's not dumb. I mean, you're supposed to test the market. I mean, at a certain point, not everybody's going to be Tom Brady and do the best thing for the team that you play for, taking less so they can get more. And other guys are going to get theirs, knowing this is probably one of the last times, if not the last time, he will get his opportunity to get maximum for his services.
3-5-3-4, does playing for a winning team matter to JV? It
I
seems
so.
His preference for multiple reasons and stats would be to play for a winner.
No question.
Yeah, it matters. I don't think he's going to.
He's
got to
get to 300
Royals
wins, right?
The Pittsburgh Pirates. But there's plenty of winners.
I get it, Jeremy, but you know what I'm talking about. I mean, when there's that kind of close game on the fence, or, you know, when you're really looking, you only have so many years left, you want to make sure you have an offense behind you that every single time you pitch, you're going to have the opportunity to win whether you have your A game or not. And I think that's why you take a lot of teams out of the equation.
Sure.
Going, he doesn't want to do that.
But you're not taking 29 teams out of the equation.
No, it's not going to be only the Astros because of that.
It's probably down to less than 10.
10 or 11.
But
teams.
It's not down to one.
No, it's not just the Houston Astros
whenever you're having this conversation. 713-780-ESPN. We talked about our fear level throughout the postseason, right? The DS, I hate five-game series, so I actually had a higher fear level. Let's say it was a 7 for the ALDS than I did the ALCS, which is probably like a 4. I really liked the series against the Yankees. I love the matchup there. I felt really confident about the ALCS.
You did. You said it before the series. You wanted them over at Cleveland, and you were right.
Where do you stand? Where were you DSCS and then now in the World Series?
I'm the same. I worry about every series they get into.
But the same level, like the same degree? Put it on the 1 to 10 scale.
On a 1 to 10 scale, I was probably, and I worry a little bit more than most, I would say. So I was probably, you know, a 5 or a 6 on the Yankees just because it would the ramifications if you lost were so great. I think when it comes to the Phillies.
What about the Mariners?
The Mariners I felt great about the whole time. I wanted them the entire time, and I said I didn't even care who they added after the last time the Astros played them. The Astros were their daddy. They had stolen the first two World Series of the Mariners season. I saw no reason why they wouldn't do it again.
So you felt now, better about the
I felt better about the Mariners than I
okay.
did.
Okay, see,
about,
I was on the other side
yeah,
of that.
Yep, and then with the Phillies, I always respect, and you know I tread lightly on the hot team. It worries me that this team underachieved for the entire regular season, but they found their way, and they found their way in a big way with the way that they're going deep and really pounding the baseball. I thought that San Diego series was going to be a long series, and it was going to be, you know, back and forth. And, you know, thinking about what these teams did or didn't do at the deadline, Padres adding Bell and adding Soto and doing the things that they did going for broke with Hader. I thought the Padres and Phillies were a 6 or 7 game series easily. The way the Phillies just continued to just bounce back, and every time that the Padres did something, they answered, and they answered in a bigger way, that's a scary proposition. Now, I like the 4 days off for them, as we've talked about, but their lineup is as staunch a lineup as the Astros have faced, maybe all season, but at least in a long period of time. And that worries me. So I'm not like all these prognosticators thinking sweep or 5 games and being overconfident about the Astros. We'll make our predictions later, but I'm on a 7 concern level with the Phillies because I believe their lineup and their top 2 pitchers are, you know, in the upper echelon right now the way they're playing.
I cringe when people start talking about, oh, Astros going to be the first team in the wild card era, never to lose a game in the postseason. Oh, you're thinking sweep. Oh, they're going to run right through the Phillies. I cringe every single time I hear that. My fear level for the Mariners was a 7. And it wasn't really because of the Mariners. It was more about the 5-game series, and I hate short series in the playoffs. Anybody can beat anybody 3 times out of 5. I felt really good about the Yankee series. I was probably like at a 4 there. For the Phillies, like, I'm at an 8. Like, people are saying this is the most lopsided World Series of all time, win total, blah, 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 blah. Bryce Harper played 90 games. Their best player was out almost half of the season. They had a terrible start out of the gate in which they had to fire their manager and go to the interim in Rob Thompson. This is a much better team than their record indicates. I know the Vegas numbers favor the Astros heavily as well. Look, I still think the Astros are going to win. This just isn't a walk in the park. This ain't going to be the ALCS. This ain't going to be a 4-game sweep. My fear level's at an 8.
Mine's at a 7, and I hate the fact that they were favored against the Braves. They were supposed to win. You should have won in retrospect. You know what? You had the better roster on paper. That's why the game's not played on paper. That's what it worries me. When you're supposed to beat Washington or you're supposed to beat Atlanta, at the end of the day, that means nothing when you're watching someone else hoist a trophy and celebrate a championship. That's why I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. That's why I don't want them to do anything but go one step at a time, play their brand of baseball, keep doing what they've been doing all playoffs long, and then, you know, hopefully when the cards fall and everything's done for the season, you're hoisting that trophy and you're feeling really good about the year and the playoff push you put together.
You mentioned the lineup that the Phillies have, and listening to Verlander talk about this as well, like it's a very diverse lineup in that they have multiple dudes that can do different things. And Verlander said how this isn't a lineup that you can have a similar game plan throughout the entire order, which I think if you look at the Yankee series, sure, you're going to have hot, cold zones different for each dude, but those hitters are kind of all the same. Like, they're boom, bust type of dudes.
It was really compact. There were two or three guys in that lineup you had to worry about with the Yankees, and the rest was rather fluffy in terms of the young kids and the inexperience that they were putting in their lineup. Nothing scared you. Donaldson couldn't hit a ball down Main Street, but you knew you had to be very careful with Rizzo, Judge, and Stanton. And other than that, I think that those other six spots, no one scared you.
Right, and even those big three guys, they're like, I know that they're different, but they're all kind of the same. Like, big-time power, they don't hit for much average outside of Judge, and they strike out a lot. So, like, similar game plans, not really diverse in their skill set. Whereas the Phillies are, like, the exact opposite. They have dudes that hit 45 home runs like Kyle Schwarber, but never, like, he's not a very good hitter, contact hitter, but gets on base a lot, hits a lot of bombs. Hoskins is kind of that same mold. Not a great average guy, but hits a lot of bombs. Then you have complete hitters like Bryce Harper that can hit for contact, hit for power. Real Muto can hit for contact, not hit as much power as Harper, but still has the capability of going deep. Castellanos is probably more of a Schwarber where it's a little bit more boom or bust. But then the bottom of the order, bunch of contact guys. Like, it's just not dudes that you're going to strike out left and right. The Bohm kid from Wichita State, high contact. He's going to put bat on ball. Bryson Stott has kind of been this volatile rookie where he's got some pop. Not a great hitter, but
Segura's been
pop.
A secret in this league for a back that he's always flirting with 300, always a good contact hitter.
Very good contact hitter.
Does not get enough credit for that.
So they're unique in that their lineup is very different from top to bottom. They'll go power out of the gate. They'll go complete hitter there in the middle. Back to some power, then to some contact. Verlander alluded to it yesterday when he said, look, you have to have a game plan for pretty much every single hitter has to be different. That makes them very difficult. And you alluded to the pitching, which over a short series, like seven games versus 162, you're dropping a fifth starter, so you don't have to worry about throwing a fifth starter every fifth day. You can go to your high leverage relievers more often because you have a couple of off days over a seven-game series, so you're not relying on guy number four, guy number five, all your minus guys, because you can stack the deck and only use your plus guys in the bullpen. So you eliminate the bottom half of the depth where the Astros have a huge advantage. You can kind of eliminate that. So when you look at their top two starters, when you look at their top three relievers, when you look at this lineup that's going to be the best lineup the Astros face in the playoffs, it's much closer than what everybody is saying.
You know, the unsung hero could be, if you believe everything that everybody, and there's no reason not to believe, you have said about Maldonado, the fact that he goes so far in depth on every single hitter in every lineup and every pitch that should be thrown to them and what their hot and cold zones are and you know, mixing up what you do sequence to sequence, at bat by at bat. Maldonado could be so hyper important, and that's why I'm not going to nitpick if Vasquez isn't starting and Maldi is. And even if Vasquez is starting in a Javier start, you got to believe Maldi's insight, his intel, and his research are going to play a big role in this pitching staff's success.
713-780-ESPN. Where is that fear level for you entering Game 1 of the World Series tonight? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees broadcasting live from 500 Golf in Beaumont. If the Astros blank, they will win the World Series. You tell us, 713-780-ESPN. If the Astros fill in the blank, they will win the World Series. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, guys, before we go to the break, postseason baseball, World Series baseball, biggest baseball series of the year, and it all could involve you, too, because from all the different options with postseason baseball to bet on, you also got NBA hoops, college and pro football every single weekend. It's a great time to be a sports fan. It's an even better time right now to capitalize on all the games going on, making them more interesting with a wager at mybookie.ag. Join the MyBookie family today. Get your first deposit matched halfway, up to $1,000, and make that deposit between now and Halloween, where you can also claim 31 free spins in the MyBookie casino. It's quick. It's easy. Claim your bonus. Just use the promo code each and every time you ever are on MyBookie with Bet975. It's hyper important that first time because you'll get that latest deal. And on top of that, you'll be all set and ready to go as quick as possible with all that extra money in your account, ready to go. More money in your account, more games you can bet on, more chances you can win. They also have a new feature called Money Bag, where the tab says Money Bag. You'll find a handful of bets with just crazy odds, like which team will hit a home run in what inning in a playoff game. You bet. An inning is assigned to you. If that's the inning that a home run is hit, you win big. Check out the Money Bag bets as part of MyBookie.ag when you log on. Begin your winning season right now. Get your first deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with the only place I tell you to do it. It's MyBookie.ag.
You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from 5 Under Golf in Beaumont. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
713-780-ESPN. What is your fear of the World Series compared to maybe some of the other series the Astros have played in? And also, if the Astros blank, they will win the World Series. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Jason and Champions just turned on the radio, but definitely not feeling great with Houston being 0-4 all-time in Game 1 of the World Series, Verlander being 0-6 in the World Series. I'm more confident on the road with the pitching mismatches than at home. Also, if the Astros shove, they will win the World Series. We were talking yesterday. I'm okay with a split in Houston. Now, I would love to get Game 1 because that allows you to get greedy Game 2. You don't have to sweat Game 2 as much. Then you take 2-3 in Philly. You come back to Houston up 3-2, needing just one in Houston. And I think Jason and Champion's point, the pitching matchups Game 3 through 5, you're looking at Javier versus Ranger Suarez, probably. You're looking at Lance McCullers versus a bullpen day, probably. And then you're getting a rematch of Game 1, Justin Verlander and Nola there in Game 5. I feel confident the Astros take 2-3 there. I feel confident they take 1-1. One in Houston as well. If you take two, you feel really good heading into Philadelphia. But I'd much like if it is a split, I'd rather take Game 1 versus Game 2 just for the anxiety of what you're looking at Game 2, like staring in the face of being down 0-2 if you lose a Game 1.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, it's not ideal for anybody to lose Game 1 of any series. It's, you know, it goes back to the fact that it's so hard to believe, but it's something that you're constantly dealing with in the back of your mind somewhere, and the fact is the Astros haven't won Game 1 in the World Series before. So you want to get off on the right foot. You want to set the precedent early on that, hey, we're here, we're going to be here, and even if we lose Game 2, you know what we're all about, and we know that the advantage in the series is after you get through the first two starters for Philadelphia, it's a whole different ballgame. And that's what you want to get to if you're an Astros fan. It's not the end of the world. Ideally, you'd want to be 2-0 and then put all the pressure in the world on them, and very similar to the Yankees series. You know, as quick as that fan base is going to be rabid and loud and want everything in Philadelphia, they're going to start having some serious doubts if you're up 2-0 and you go up early in Philadelphia and you can send a message to really take control of the series. You know, we can sit there until we're blue in the face and predict and hope and talk about what's going to happen. I just hope that the real Astros show up. You know, I just hope that, you know, between the layoff and how many games everybody's made a big deal of, how many games they haven't played during this run, you know, they haven't been in their A-plus game the entire playoffs. Their lineup has been hot and cold. You know, Verlander, as we all know, had a bad start in his first start in the playoffs.
Really, the only bad pitching game was that one.
But the rest of the pitching has been really good. So if the offense can get as consistent as the pitching, and that's the Astros team that goes out there and they start throwing haymakers and going out swinging like that, that's what I want to see.
3738 on the text line, 713-780-3776. You are way overestimating the Phillies. Relax, guys. I don't think that we are, man.
I don't think we are. Did you see any of the playoffs? I mean, did you see what those guys were able to do?
Now, I understand they haven't faced the Astros staff, but they faced some solid staffs. 3364, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face. Mike Tyson said that probably. 713-780-ESPN.
Guys,
let's go. Yeah, what's up?
Real quickly, I will say, I understand why you guys have the whole postseason anything can happen thing, but when somebody says, like, you're overestimating the Phillies, I do think if you were objective from the outside and weren't like worried about your team, you would look at this series a little bit differently. And that's
I mean, we
fair.
All know the probabilities, right? We know the Vegas odds. But we know the prognosticators.
Weren't they supposed to beat the Braves?
Yeah, and the Nats. Nats probably more so. Nets. I think the Nats, they were probably more favored than the Braves.
The 538, for what it's worth, you take it for what it's worth, listed the Astros today at the seventh best odds ever in World Series history to win the series. Better
the
than
top six do.
What was that?
That's a good question.
I think they all won, but I can look deeper into it.
Yeah, I'd like to know the answer to that.
I would too.
I'll look deeper into it.
I think, like, we all understand the probabilities of it. Like, part of those probabilities, though, is they take the Phillies' full body of work. They take the full 162. Like, I would automatically erase the Girardi-managed Phillies games, and I would erase any of the games where Bryce Harper did not play in, which aren't many, because he only played in 90-something games. Yeah. A lot of those were when Girardi was still the manager of the team, too.
It's not the team that they were. It's the team that they are. And right now, the team that they are is a team that's feeling real good about themselves, that have had guys that have missed time, like you mentioned, in Harper or been less than where they were supposed to be for a majority of the season. It's like Yuli, but on the other side of the table. Instead of a Yuli that was up and down and struggling and wasn't going to not only not hit 300 or win a batting title, wasn't going to be close, and then all of a sudden you get that clean slate and you get some momentum and you start doing the things that you used to do and believing in yourself again, and then suddenly you have that belief as a team too, and that's when they become scary. That's why I'm so worried about the Phillies.
713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line, get Gage in here. Gage, you're in the Hive for the Killer Bees. What's up, Gage?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to bring up a couple things I was thinking about, and then I'll hang up and listen. Just talking about the Astros and winning the World Series, I definitely think that the key is taking care of business at home this time. I mean, the last couple times we just haven't done that. And then also, my worry level, I feel like an 8. I feel like this is a lot like 2019. You got Wheeler Nola, feels a lot like Scherzer,
yeah.
And Strasburg, and then you've got Rendon and Schwarber and Harper and Soto, and then maybe like a Gene Segura for Howie Kendrick. So it does feel like a lot like 2019, but I would say the key is obviously taking care of business at home. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I think it's a good – I mean, the Nats, to me, are a better comparison than maybe the Braves were last year, because you do have the top two horses at the top. You know, the yep. Max Straws versus Nola, Wheeler. I think Max Straws, I would take that in 19 over currently Wheeler, Nola, but it's not by a lot.
Nola's very hit or miss, right? When he's on, and the Astros saw it at the end of the regular season, he can be a wheeling-dealing son of a gun, as you would say.
I don't think they faced Wheeler.
This year, at one point, he held them hitless and I think shut them out for like 6 or 7 innings.
I think you got them flipped. Nola was the one who went 6 2/3 shutty.
I'm talking about Nola. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah,
yeah. You say Wheeler.
I'm sorry. I'm talking about Nola. Nola's very hit or miss. Wheeler is their big over. He can overpower you. He can get it done. And he can just absolutely have you sitting as quickly as you got in the box, heading back to the dugout. Nola is a guy that I think you can capitalize on. I think you can get to, and I think that he could be vulnerable. Wheeler's their guy that I think when we had the discussion. I know you guys were very surprised. You and Greg, our resident Philly expert that's on the network side with us, that Wheeler didn't start game one. But
I wasn't surprised about that.
I thought that Nola would start game one. I don't know if that's the right move or not. But I think that the Astros can have success against both of those guys, as opposed to, I'm with you, I think it was a more formidable two with Washington. Mm-hmm. But regardless, the Washington Nationals won that series. And to the caller's point about, you got to take care of your business at home, because we know what happened in that Washington series.
Yeah.
And the Atlanta series was different because you lost your quote-unquote ace when Lance went down. But it seemed like that pulled the plug on a whole lot with the Astros that, that probably shouldn't have if you were going to believe the odds makers.
See, I don't think they actually have to take care of business at home. I just feel like you can't lose more than you win at home, because I think the Astros are going to take 2 or 3 in Philly. So that means you go 2-2 at home, you win the World Series. So you just can't have a losing record at home like you did against the Nationals, where you didn't win a single game. 713-780-ESPN. Brendan, you said you had the numbers on the top six teams, the biggest odds in World Series
history. Yeah, and this is specifically 538's ELO imbalance is what they call it. So it's pretty nerdy.
Bless you.
It's a pretty nerdy way of looking at it. But they have the Astros as the seventh biggest favorite ever. The top six went 5-1.
Okay, so
that's good.
I mean, and look, if you look comparatively,
there's one.
I don't need you to put that all over the map and advertise it, but I like it.
If you look comparatively back to the Astros versus the Nationals, it was closer to about the 30th biggest favorites ever.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Pretty big gap.
713-780-ESPN. If the Astros blank, they will win the World Series. 8437 says if the Astros don't pitch to Bryce Harper, they will win the World Series. I don't necessarily disagree. You do have some pop behind him, though. Like, this isn't an automatic every time Bryce Harper's up, you put up the four fingers and you give him first base. It's got to be situational, right? It's got to be in the right circumstances. But game on the line, like we saw in the series clincher in the NLCS, where he's the go-ahead run, and they didn't have Josh Hader in the game, which, my goodness, what is Bob Melvin doing? Critical at-bats, I'm in favor of not allowing Bryce Harper to beat you.
It's much like you expected and saw the philosophy philosophy was supposed to be for Yordan so far through the playoffs. It's much like everybody thought for Aaron Judge. You give him that same level of respect because he has been on an absolute tear since he's gotten back, and in particular in the playoffs. But you also don't, because these guys are so much boom or bust, you don't want to set the table by putting him on and then letting the big, to your point, the boppers behind him go and take a solo shot and turn it into a two-run bomb, or you know, take a, you know, a small little spark and turn it into a bonfire, because you're putting runners on base and setting the table. So every situation is different. I think you'll see a lot of pitching around him without giving him the four fingers. And then as the situation arises, and if there's two outs, nobody on, especially if you have a lead, I think you'll see the guys want to go get him.
Yeah.
But I think they will be smart about how they pitch.
It's situation. It always is situation, right? 4-1-2-3, our only hope is the weak layoff that the Phillies bats cooled off. If they hit the way they hit versus the Padres, we lose in five. Now, that's a little bit of fear-monger there, and I would say it's not the only hope.
I
think even if the Phillies play really well, I still think the Astros win this series. There's a path to where if the Phillies don't play well, perhaps it becomes a little bit of a shorter series. 6677 says the Astros took the last series of the year 2 out of 3, 13 runs to 5. I like the Astros' chances. I don't put any weight in that final series of the year. The Astros had nothing to play for. I know they went Verlander, McCullers, Fromber. They had nothing to play for. The Phillies did have to get their magic number of 1, which they did in the NOLA game. And then basically both teams handled it like a spring training game the next 2 days. We're like, yeah, your pitcher got innings, but they were pulling starters after half the game. The Phillies didn't play any of their dudes the day after they won the World Series. So I'm not really using that last series with any sort of predicting what's going to happen in the World Series with that. 6181, get production from Tuve and Alvarez, they will win. Or if the pitching continues how it has been. What's interesting about NOLA and Wheeler is they have reverse splits. I think that the righties for the Houston, Altuve, Pena, Bregman, Yuli, Mancini or Diaz, Chaz, they have to step up. Like, you're going to have to get some righties that step up, especially against NOLA and Wheeler. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. We do it every Friday at 2. Who said it?
Make my weekend, baby.
Take some quotes from personalities of ESPN 97.5, and the Killer Bees have to guess who said it. It's Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.